The Slammer Bros podcast. We just got through a legendary horror event, a 64 movie horror tournament, in which case Michael Myers of Halloween, the original OG, won it, won the whole thing, and didn't even get a single point scored upon him. Like, that's crazy to me, because you would think somebody would have caused like a little dent in that armor, but nobody, not even the finalist, which was Pinhead of Hellraiser.
It was, I was surprised. I wasn't surprised to see Halloween win it all, but I was surprised to see it go through the tournament at a perfect, unblemished 20-0. That's like Goldberg-level win streak right there.
Absolutely. But this time it ended at just the right time. The fans didn't get bored with it. You know, we got in, we did a whole full blown tournamente, but you know, now Halloween is over and I got to ask the $1 million question, man. How sad were you, Steve, when you had to take down those illustrious Halloween decorations, you know? And as you tell us how bad it felt, why don't you remind people, you know, who are listening to this on the podcast, what exactly your Halloween decorations and your massive McMansion consisted of?
Well, I mean, you know, it's no shock to anyone who has seen my Instagram brother or is or knows me personally. I'm a big fan of the Halloween. I'm a giant man child, as it were. It's one of the benefits of not having any children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had the 12-foot Home Depot skeleton out on the lawn, a series of scarecrows consuming smaller scarecrows. We had the fog machine out there, giant spiders attacking the house. It was quite the extravaganza. And in our neighborhood, which is a little upscale, and that's not, you know, to brag or anything. It's just to say that, you know, no one really goes the extra mile like my house does. And so the house was very popular. I had people swinging by at like 10, 11 o'clock on Halloween night just to take pictures with the house. People coming over. The trick-or-treaters coming up. It never ceases to amaze. So for the trick-or-treat, I dressed up like Jason Voorhees. I feel like my Jason Voorhees costume was on point this year. But it doesn't cease to amaze me the number of parents that want me to traumatize their children, having me walk after their children while their children are crying hysterically, calling me the bad man and all this stuff. And these fathers are just like, go ahead and chase after him, you know, therapy's cheap, you know, just shit like that. But it was a successful Halloween. It was sad to take it down, but I am going to find a use for this 12-foot Home Depot skeleton. I believe I can get a giant Santa Claus hat for it.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
So you're thinking, now you're thinking Nightmare Before Christmas type stuff.
No. I'm thinking Halloween extended with some Christmas periphery nonsense.
Dude,
I live in an area where they already have the Christmas shit up.
There you go.
Right. Like, I'm a firm believer. Like, my birthday's on Christmas. I am a firm believer that Christmas does not begin. I think Halloween goes all the way until the fourth Wednesday in November. Then you get a day of Thanksgiving, and then you get into Christmas.
Okay, so so you're part of that camp, right?
Yes.
There's people in that camp. I also know people who feel like Christmas begins on November 1st. Like November 1st is when they start playing the Christmas music. That's when Mariah Carey
just comes. They're called psychopaths.
And destroy. Okay, perfect. So you
they're called psychopaths.
Yes. Psychopaths. Yes. Okay. So you are not part of the psychopath camp. You are part of the extensive camp that just wants to, you know, put fictitious serial killers all over your front lawn. That's correct?
The only exception I'll make to that is if I'm allowed to have a Silent Night, Deadly Night presentation on my lawn. Then that's different. If I can put Santa Claus out there with an axe and a couple of bloody bodies, I'm down. Let's do it.
All right. Well, in the chat, it's getting a little lively. Goddess of War says, whose biceps are bigger, I will go with Steve on that one. Steve has got me beat.
I did have a rather awesome bicep, tricep, and chest pump Saturday. And I'm still a little sore from it. I'm not gonna lie. Like I was pushing, I was clanging and banging some freaking man weight in there, baby. But dude, you know, I'm willing to you know unleash the beast here a little bit.
All right. In fairness, yes, Steve has a really good upper body. I think Steve has bigger arms than me. That's.
I don't know. I'm not convinced of that. You got me beat in the shoulder department. Like the big. You got a broader chest, I think.
Yeah, chest, shoulders, I think probably lats, but arms you definitely.
Oh, definitely lats. My lat game is so weak, it's ridiculous.
We're gonna fix that.
I was watching a little bit of the Olympia, mm-hmm. and I was like, yeah, like that. Some of those guys, like their lat spread is like bigger than like my arm length spread. Like that's obviously not true, but sometimes it feels that way looking at them. Let me tell you,
bro. Derek Lunsford, the guy who won the Mr. Mm-hmm. Olympia, when he did his back lat spread, his lats literally go past his shoulders, bro.
Like those guys are all nuts, and obviously they're enhanced, but that's neither here nor there.
What you're looking at is, yes, they're enhanced, but that's like the genetic lottery. Mm-hmm. When you hear of the genetic, the best of the best of human genetics, it's right there on that stage.
Not to change the topic from Halloween, which is my favorite topic, and we'll get back to that in a second. How'd you feel about the way it went down there at the end with the walk off? And
you know what, man? Here's the thing, and you know me, I'm not a hypocrite. That first show we did in Vegas this year, I was very unhappy with how I got placed. A lot of people felt I got robbed, and I felt robbed on the stage, but.
But you stayed on the stage.
There is this concept of sportsmanship, right?
Right.
Now, I stayed on the stage. I shook every single one of my competitors' hands in the back.
Right.
I thanked Tammy for such a great show. And the only thing that I semi-regret that I did was as I was leaving the building and I thought nobody could see me, as I decided to just walk it off so you can enjoy your moment. You know, you won your pro card and I was super proud of you as a coach, but like... that feeling was fucked. I threw my sword in the trash and I kept walking away, right? That was fucked. I shouldn't have done that. However, I don't feel like if you're a representative of the sport and at that point, mm-hmm. Hadi, so for those of you who don't know, Hadi Chopin, last year's Mr. Olympia,
yep.
he lost the event. He shakes Derek's hands. They both celebrate together. They're all good. And then there's a moment afterwards where everybody, and this is tradition, everybody stands on the stage, the top five guys. Y'all take your pictures, you smile, you flex up, and then you walk away, right? Hadi decides that he wants to leave the stage about, like, even before they take the pictures, and you had Bob Ciccarelli just like, hey, Hadi, we got pictures, but Hadi doesn't speak English anyways, but still, he should know, having competed in the Olympia for the past decade, you stay. Mm-hmm. You show respect to the guy who beat you and you walk away. Now, personally, up until that point, I actually had Hadi beating Derek because I had it as a tie.
His conditioning looked better.
Yeah, Hadi's conditioning from the front is significantly better. Derek won all the back shots. So for me, I felt like it was an even tie. And then from the side, I actually had a slight edge to Hadi. But let's say it's a universal tie. I'm of the mindset of martial arts or fighting in general, where you have to knock off the champion, right? Like you have to definitively beat him. There's eight
poses.
To be
the man.
You got to beat him on five poses. That's my opinion. You got eight poses. You got to beat him on five. If it's a tie, the champion should win. So up until that point, I thought Hadi should win. So I'm not a guy who's like got my fucking, you know, I'm not a guy up here who's all up on trying to dick ride on Derek Lunsford. But, you know, the top three was so damn good this year, man.
Yeah.
If Samson had won, I wouldn't have been shocked. If Hadi had won, I wouldn't have been shocked. Derek won. I wasn't shocked. There was no like clear upset. I will say this though. Samson was like amongst those two, the clear number three. But if he would have pulled it off, you look at the guy. He's like,
right.
He's a fucking 6 foot 300-pound monster on stage who made those guys look tiny until they got to the back, which is when they kind of showed them off. But we all have moments that we regret, so I hope this doesn't like negatively affect people's opinion of Hadi, but it's going to be in people's minds every single time he's on stage now.
Sure.
And to finish, what I really hated, Derek, who's supposed to be enjoying the fruits of his labor, you know, you just won the Mr. Olympia. You are now going to get more sponsorship opportunities. You're going to get all your fans gassing you up, you know, your friends, your family, all this. But apparently, Derek was receiving a lot of death threats. So he had to take his page down for a little bit. So I don't know if it's back up yet as people are listening to this podcast. But for me, I just feel like when you do something like that on stage, you're taking something away from the guy who beat you.
Right.
And the guys who Hadi beat did not do that to him. So I feel like it puts a little stain on Derek's title run already. But in fairness, I think it's Derek's to lose up until Samson or Andrew catch up to him. So I think he's Mr. O for the next 2 or 3 years at least. So, all right, what were you going to say, Steve?
No, I mean, I can't get into the whole death threat thing because I think that's ridiculous. And I think, unfortunately, part of the joy and the horrible aspects of social media is that anyone can contact anyone, right? So you know, you get a couple of crazy people that are just like, oh, I'm going to, you know, you beat Hody, I'm going to kill you. It's like, all right, whatever. But, and you got to take that stuff seriously, unfortunately, in this day and age, especially with some of the stuff going on right now and considering that, you know, Hody's Iranian, you know, but I think that, you know, I didn't think that it was as big a deal as some people were making it out to be.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if I can compare it to, you know, and obviously we're not competing for Olympia, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you go through a cycle, you know, you go through a long prep where you're, you know, you're being meticulous and you're counting your carbs and you're putting the time in the gym, you know, and you're sacrificing things, you know, you're sacrificing, you know, time with friends or with family because, you know, or when you're going out, you have to drink water, or you got to watch what you eat and stuff like that. And then you get, you know, to the pinnacle of, you know, your particular competition and, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, yeah, you know what, we're probably close, but I think I got the edge. And then, you know, you come in second. Right. Yeah. And that disappointing feeling of, you know, I mean, look, second in the Olympia after winning it is still pretty dang good, right?
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, there was Brandon Curry getting fourth after, like, battling some stuff with his esophagus where he was in the ER the night before. I mean, that's good. Like, let's be real, dude. If you are in the first or second call out of the Mr. Olympia, you're basically set for bodybuilding. You've got sponsorships. You've got like all these amazing opportunities. If you're top three, like Hadi is never going to have to work a regular job in his entire life. If he wants to coach people after he retires, cause he still loves it. Kind of like what Milos does. Cool. But he doesn't have to do it. Right. But yeah, man, no, for me, it's not too big of a deal. It adds a little bit of controversy, but what I'm hoping is some of Hadi's like not so great fans are not the ones who are posting these. I'm just hoping it's a troll job on the internet, you know, worst case scenario. I would rather people not receive death threats, but
right. I think Hadi tried to make it right afterwards when he posted on his Instagram and he, you know, he congratulated everyone and it was like, look, you know, like, you know, he did stay out there, you know, for the presentation and then, you know, kind of took off. And I get that, right? Like, you know, this is where you can't really compare because these are, you know, supremely conditioned athletes at the pinnacle of their particular competition. You know,
that much muscle, 3% body fat, biggest disappointment in your life. Show that, you know, a lot of people had it going to Hadi, man. I had it going to Hadi. Like a coin lot flip. Of people had coin it to flip. Him, right?
Coin flip.
It totally was. That's actually what a few people even said. A few commentators, they were like, dude, it would not shock me if the judges just said, fuck it, let's flip a coin right now, because it was that close.
And this is where, like, the difference comes in between, like, what, you know, what we do, and especially, you know, looking at it from my perspective, because, you know, I got into this older in life, and obviously, you know, I'm not looking to go compete in an Olympia or anything like that. And so, you know, I kind of do it just for my health benefits and, you know, for the aesthetic yep. reasons and for, yeah, so I can get memes made about me. And
hey, that was a great meme.
That was a good meme. I will.
Okay.
For those of you who haven't seen it.
For those of you who don't know, there's an Instagram page called Because Toxic Because. Toxic Because.
Mr. Toxic, which is a great wrestling name, by the way.
Mr. Toxic. So basically, it's one of those memes with Steve on it, and he's got like he basically looks like a male model. Like that's what he does for a living.
Who says
essentially it says, stop being so insecure. He's just a friend. And then it's like the friend Colin, and then a freaking shirtless picture of Steve over here looking like a goddamn Adonis.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I won't lie. The husbands and boyfriends are typically not fans of mine, but you know, that was before I got into the bodybuilding stuff. But no, I mean, I think that the, you know, like for, if I, you know, when I look at myself and I say, hey, you know what, you know, I put in the time, so long as I feel like I'm better than last time, I'm happy regardless of how I place. But these are guys on a totally different level, right?
Oh,
and,
dude.
And the stakes are so much higher.
Mm-hmm.
So I get where he's at.
Yeah.
And the fact that he then turned around and said, hey, look, you know, it was the moment, you know, and he tried to make it right. He congratulated Derek. I thought, you know, that's the best way he could have handled it, short of, mm-hmm. you know, just staying out there. But hey, look, you know, I'm not going to sit there and pretend like I know what's going through this guy's head, you know, when knowing he just lost the Olympia. You know, I'd be,
yeah.
And especially when you're looking at the guy and saying, it's not like it's, you know, it's not like it's clear.
It's not like, yeah.
Sometimes when you know you've been beat,
it's easier.
It's easier when it's just like, okay, the guy was just better.
Oh, dude, and you and we see like one or two of those guys whenever we're in the back. We're like, okay,
right.
That guy, I ain't beating that guy. Like, well, and you just know.
Do that every time every show I do. I immediately look around. I'm like, who's in my division? And then I start looking, and I'm like, all right, I think I'm better than him. I think I'm better than him. Holy shit, I got some work to do with that guy, right? And then,
yeah.
So long as it roughly plays out that way,
yeah,
you're like, okay, that's fine.
Well, see, for me, it's like this past competition cycle, both sets of judges were like, you need to get bigger. So now I've taken them up on it. The show, I was 175. Now I'm 205. And
yeah,
still got abs, looking, still got arms.
Looking thick, brother. Yeah.
Oh, bro. Like, I feel like they woke up the monster, because I was just like, okay, this is what I need to do for you to look at me.
Do you think it's possible that some of that is not necessarily, you know, specifically done to you, but do you think in some cases, especially when they know that there's guys that are coming back,
yeah,
that they do things like that to just like, let's see how he responds?
Possibly, you know what, possibly. And then it's a good story. Also,
right.
They know we compete regularly. Do you really want to just toss a guy a pro card who's going to annually compete at your show? But
well, right. Like I was thinking of, you know, when I got mine in Vegas, and you know, Tammy mentioned, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm so glad, you know, he's been coming. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe there's an element of that. I'm not saying that that's the way it is in the Olympia. I think the Olympia is like a whole other animal.
Yes.
Like I said, but I sometimes wonder, you know, if they're trying to, maybe, I don't want to say it's necessarily overt, but there's like a piece of them that's just like, let's see how he responds. Let's poke the bear a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? If that's what they wanted to do, that's what they did. So.
All I know is the next time we compete, you're going to be a freaking monster.
Oh, I am. Oh, dude. So I got 3 plates on the bench press the other day.
Yeah.
I got it once.
10 pounds, right?
Yes. 3 10-pound plates, yes. No, it was 3 45s on each
side.
Yeah,
baby.
Smith, and I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. And then
I'm still pushing too, man.
I had one more in me, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going. And now I'm noticing, man, barreled chest, and I'm just in a deep
right.
surplus. I'm eating lots of food, and I'm just at this point where I'm like, When's the comeback show? Deli Quinn says. It's looking like either end of next year or early 2025.
I have some ideas.
We will talk. We will talk.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I have a hankering. I have an urge. So you've been to the estate, and those that watch the show know that I have an affinity for certain types of hardware.
Yes. And mainly belts. Not... For those of you listening, he's rubbing his belt right
yes,
now.
Yes. And there may or may not be shows where there are belts.
Ooh. Now that's one to win. Okay. Yes. So Steve, for those of you who don't know, he is an overgrown man child who's got about 20 actual professional wrestling belt replicas. These are not toys. These are actual replicas.
This is the Mid-South Wrestling North American Championship.
So,
yes.
So Steve's lovely girlfriend, Danny. Hi, Danny, by the way. Says Steve loves it when I rub his belts too. Laughy face. Oh, keep us posted, guys. Haha, Deli Quinn. Yes. Of course we will. Nah, man, for me, it was like one of those things where part of me was just like, hey, man, maybe I look as good as I'll ever look and it's not good enough anymore. And maybe I should just be a coach and like lead other people to the promised land. And then this off season's been good for me, bro.
Yeah.
I'm talking like I put 30 pounds of it back on. I'm still at like 13% body fat, still have my abs. So
yeah.
I'm like,
there it is. Yeah. Those arms are looking good, brother.
I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go. And that's for me is I want to put on size because I realized what the problem was. You and I have so much fun on stage because we get to meet up in Vegas. We get to hang out the whole time. Afterwards, we always do something silly, like drink a bunch of beer, eat some pizza, like
win thousands of dollars in the casino,
win thousands at the casino, have a blast afterwards, right?
Limo. Yeah.
But the show is like the reason we come together. So right. It's like, it's motivation to want to compete again.
Well, and
what
and
we weren't, to finish the point though, it's like we were kind of putting ourselves behind the eight ball. Because we were only giving ourselves 4 to 5 months to grow and then going right back to it. Now, enhanced guys can do that because they're on fucking gear and they actually need that window to get off so they can resensitize to the gear and also like mitigate any health concerns that they have, right? For us, we should be doing like – we should be doing 2 or 3 shows at the end of each year. But those 3 shows should be 3 weekends back to back to back. So that's why I think this nice long season, this nice long off season, we're both getting an opportunity to just grow, get big, work on the things we need to work on with actual time. And then boom, we'll be back in it hard next time. Did not mean to interrupt you, Steve.
Please, no. Go ahead. Same thing. I find that I'm more focused when I know I have a target.
100%.
So right now, you know, like I've been, you know, I'm still doing my thing, but at the same time, it's like, because I know I don't, even if the show, even if I knew it was like, okay, 15 months from now is when I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Then right now it's too easy for me to be like, ah, you know what? It's fine. You know what? I got time. You know, if I don't go today, it's not that big a deal, you know, and it's just like, no, I find that when I, once I have the date set, then it's like, all right, it's go time now. Even if it's a long prep, right?
Deli Quinn says, so a year to the next one, I still need to get me a shirt to represent. Oh, there will be shirts.
And I'm not convinced it's going to be another year. It may be, but we'll see. Jackson and I will consult.
We will consult.
We'll do an unveiling. On a future episode.
Here's the deal. As long as I get another 6 months to grow.
Yes.
And a legit 4 month to 6 month period where we're just cutting weight.
Right.
And then we get to that point where it's like, okay, here we are. These are the 3 shows we're doing. Because if we do 3 shows, here's what I want to do. I want to do 1 men's physique show, 1 classic show, and then I want to do one as a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
So I want to do all three divisions this year.
What I heard is Jack wants to hit the triple crown all in the same season.
Well, I want to do that. And then what I also want to do is I want to try out different federations because we've only done OCB shows. What I want to do is I want to try all of them, maybe a couple of the smaller ones, maybe a bigger one, just to compare, like, what's the experience like in each of them, right?
Totally with you.
Might be even cool to do a show that's close to me this time around.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
So, I mean, we could do Vegas, California, your state, whatever we want to do, right? So,
Jersey.
We can do Jersey.
Yeah.
We can do a Jersey show.
I will say also, I saw, I think it was on Instagram over the weekend, a show up in North Dakota.
Okay.
And I was looking at the place, at the people who place, and I was like, I think I can compete with them right now. Like,
dude,
that's not to diminish them. It's just to say, like, you know, depending on where you go, you know, obviously competition is, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Different. So, I mean, look, dude,
those
we can totally
country boys up there. Mm.
That's the problem, man. They may not have the conditioning, but they certainly have size. That's the thing.
And pulling tractors with their fingernails and whatnot.
Because, I mean, bro, we all know what happened. I had, like, the second or third best conditioning that second show. Like, my stuff, I was striated. And they were like, nah, we like size. Oh, okay.
Well, stop. And it just goes to show you, you know, sometimes you just get a different set of judges. And it's just like, no, the way you looked, I liked. And now yeah.
Yeah, like, because when we were taking our pictures together, right?
Mm-hmm.
People were looking at us like, what the fuck are those guys? Because we were shredded. To the core, like we looked really good.
I felt way more shredded for the first show.
But you looked good both shows.
No, I felt much tighter the first show. I think.
Yeah, the first
show.
4 months
in between was too much.
It was. I fucked that one up.
That was me. I'm the one that recommended the Virginia show.
Let's do one more show. And I was just like, yeah, let me get back on fucking stage. I wasn't thinking like your coach of just like, no. Let's just remain pissed off for a year. And then you can make your pro debut.
16 weeks? Mm.
Yeah, I should have said that, but I did not.
In your defense, though, at the time we made that decision, you were in a little bit of a pissy mood, and I do believe that there was a lot of beer in us at that particular moment.
Oh, there was. And here's the thing. People who make decisions when they drink usually backpedal. For me, once you get my word, I'm doing it. Like, I may not do my best, but we're doing it.
Well, I hate to break it to you, brother, but based on the other promise that we made to Sister Sin the last time, I do believe we also committed to do a burlesque show, but that's a whole...
Brother, I'm down to do a burlesque show. I mean, I'm down to try. I did. Cause here's what I feel like I did. I did wrestling for about a year and a half. Right. And I've been in front of strangers with just trunks on performing maneuvers. Right. So I don't care. But for me, if I was to do a burlesque show, I'd want to like do our own variety where we can make it something cool and it's unique. And maybe we juggle some dildos. I don't know. But we got to do something.
That escalated quickly.
Dude, okay. Am I wrong?
You've
been to plenty of those.
All the dildos you want, sir.
I will. I'll juggle them with my mouth. But do you both have dance moves? You know what? Here's the thing. Just give me a strobe light. All we need is a strobe light, and you can hide the lack of rhythm. Steve can dance. Me, it's hit or miss.
I have a particular set of skills.
I have some dance moves, but it's more like, I'll describe it more. Remember how Run DMC didn't really dance? He just kind of like got into it, you know? That's it, yeah. I just stand in place with my drink like, sorry, I can't dance, yo. I don't want to spill this. This was like $23. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me talk to you.
Speaking
of wrestling, you know what I'm sick of? And this actually doesn't have anything to do with wrestling. Personally, I'm of the mindset that I think it's really cool that The Rock stayed in shape, you know, and he's 54 years old or something like that.
No, I think he's only 51.
51, 52. Anyways, either way, he's in phenomenal shape. Now. He posts nothing but positivity. Posts his workouts out there. And then You get like even guys I respect, like freaking Mike Isertel, Dr. Mike Isertel from RP Strength.
51.
There's all these guys who always say like, oh yeah, well The Rock doesn't train properly because he didn't go all the way down on incline bench or anything. So first off, what I always have to ask myself, is I'm like, okay, so The Rock, who has been documented speaking to the best trainers in the world after being a former professional athlete, does not know how to train properly. Because he is working around certain injuries. Is that what you're telling me? Because people fail to, maybe it's because he became the biggest movie star on the planet, but because people don't remember him being the pro wrestler that you and I remember him being, they don't remember the fact that there was a 7-8 year period where that dude was putting himself through freaking car wrecks. 200 to 300 nights out of the year on the road for the WWE. So maybe y'all should put that in your head, and instead of, you know, making fun of The Rock's form so you can squeeze out a couple extra views, you should understand the fact that The Rock is working around some injuries. I would guarantee he's got a few of them doing what he did for that many years.
Let me put it this way. If you look like The Rock at age 51 from training incorrectly,
yes,
then I will train incorrectly as well.
Absolutely.
Tell me what you do. I understand when it comes to The Rock, some of that's genetic.
Yes.
Like he's got that Samoan, like, come on. He comes from good genes, let's just put it that
way.
Oh,
yeah. Rocky Johnson was his dad.
Right.
So you've got great athlete, and then a family. His mother's side was a family full of Samoan wrestlers.
Yeah,
so
the High Chief.
Yep.
Yeah, he's genetically gifted. So it's always good to win the genetic lottery. But at the same time, there's lots of people that win the genetic lottery, and they never maximize it. So the man, to your point, he's a positive guy. He's always putting positive stuff out there. He trains like a freaking maniac. He's an entrepreneur. He's a businessman. He's a, an actor. I mean, you name it, and if some clowns want to sit there and critique his form so that they could, score points on The Rock, whatever.
100%. Yeah. So
whatever.
We here at the Slammer Bros say, The Rock knows how to train. So know your role and shut your damn mouth.
We love The Rock, and The Rock is welcome to come on anytime he wants.
Yes, Rock. If you are listening to this now, you are more than welcome. I know you're not used to doing interviews here on the big leagues, but we will take care of you, Mr. Johnson.
I think The Rock is probably one of the millions
and millions,
watching right now around 100%. The world.
Well, they'll be listening because our podcast numbers actually do pretty good, which is why I'm starting to put all of our content on the podcast itself. So, Steve,
yes.
What do you – so my rule of thumb for a bulk, and everybody has their own opinions. Some people feel that in the off season, in terms of a bulk, it's fair game. Eat whatever you want. Your job is to make that number on the scale as big as humanly possible. I slightly agree with that if you can still see abs. If you can still see abs, then you're still within an athletic body fat percentage, and then it's going to be a lot easier to take that off, take off the fat that you had just put on. I think the optimal off-season weight personally is about 15%. Like 15% body fat, you still got visible abs, but it's clear you're clearly nice and chubbed up, so you can put on adequate muscle, throw up more weight, mass up, mass down. That's my general rule of thumb. What's your philosophy on the off-season bulk?
Well, it's clearly not the former, because I can sit and make any number work if I just sit on the couch and eat Twinkies all day. So it's clearly not eat whatever you want.
Yes.
At the same time, though, I think that, if we're talking about an off-season cycle where you're going to eventually go into a cut to do a show, then I think, yeah, you know, open up the diet a little bit, because eventually you're going to get super duper strict.
Yeah.
I think for people that are just looking to, you know, lift and put on some muscle, I think, you know, you can pretty much, you could probably mix and match quite a bit, you know, have a couple donut days here and there, you know. But I think my philosophy is that eventually, no matter what I take in, I'm gonna have to burn off.
Yeah.
So once the cut begins, I can either make it easier on myself or I can make it harder on myself.
100%.
It all depends on how much fun I had during the off season.
Yeah, man. Because I'm not gonna lie, I still see the abs, but I've had some fun, but it's controlled fun. So it's like not going out to McDonald's. It's more like pushing the carbs a little more than I normally do. So instead of a cup of rice with breakfast, it's been two cups of rice. And then I've been limiting my fats a little bit more. So I still stay at a healthy hormone level, but I've been cutting back the fats, replacing those with more carbs. And I've noticed that that's what's been giving me a lot more fuller a lot more fuller look, fuller physique, and I'm liking it. I call it the t-shirt level. No pizza, I'm not gonna lie. Once a month I do let myself have some pizza.
Yeah.
And it's
gotta
bad.
Have the pizza, come on.
Oh yeah, it's good. But what's the pizza place we went to? Because that place was amazing.
Mellow Mushroom, man.
Okay, Mellow Mushroom pizza was the best.
It's a chain too.
Oh God, it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wants to just travel up to Virginia so we can go eat some Mellow Mushroom.
Anytime you want to come to the Palatial Estate, I got a spare room for you, brother. Yeah.
Oh yeah, brother. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'll be out in Las Vegas this weekend.
Oh, this coming weekend. That's right.
Indeed. I will be out for Sunday night football, Jets Raiders.
Well, you know what? It's only a 4-hour drive from me, so I might just come down and hang out with you for a day.
Well, I will let you. I'll let you know the details. Yeah.
Let me know the deets, brother. Yeah.
But yeah, so it'll be I'll be on West Coast time next Monday, and I fly home on Tuesday. So.
All right. So I mean, speaking of football, how is this season unfolded for you? I mean, I know you being a Jets fan, losing Aaron Rodgers two plays into the series is not.
Well, it was four. He made it four.
He made it four plays. But here's the
thing.
Series.
But here's the thing. So the Jets are playing tonight.
Yep.
So the Chargers are at the Jets tonight. I just saw on the Jets Instagram page, Aaron Rodgers is already out there throwing the football around.
I mean, are they in a position where they can make the wild card?
They are in a position. They're not out of the division. They are 4-3.
They're 4-3?
They're 4-3.
Okay.
They've won three in a row. Now, you know, the offense needs to pick up. Here's where having Aaron Rodgers. I'm convinced that if they had Aaron Rodgers right now, they would probably be 6-1.
Nice.
But, I mean, if I look at the division standings right now, and I believe, yeah, Miami lost to the Chiefs this weekend over in Germany. But the standings show that the jet skis, I believe, are just a game back, but let me verify that. The division is not out of the question. The problem is eventually they're going to have to play the Dolphins, and I think the Dolphins are going to smoke. They're going to smoke them.
The Dolphins are just. Didn't they score more points than any other team in NFL history this season?
They dropped a 70 spot on the Bears.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it
wasn't
was,
it like 70-3 or something ungodly.
I think it was 70-20 or something. I know 20. That they, but I mean, at that point, it might as well just be 70-0, right?
Bro, here's the thing. You want to know the worst? Okay, this was the worst football team I was ever on. It was my sophomore year in high school. Final game of the season, we lost 77-0. And keep in mind, this was my first year ever playing football. So normally I was like special teams. They brought me in situationally, right? But it was like I only started like one game, right? But that game, I remember at halftime, it was 44-0.
Right.
So our only bragging rights as a second string team, we were just like, well, they only scored 33 on us. So, you know. So, yeah, I've been a part of a team that lost 77-0.
Well, the Jets are 4-3. The Dolphins are 6-3. So the Jets are coming off the bye 2 weeks ago. So the Dolphins haven't had their bye yet. So the Jets are a game and a half back, but they're second in division. So I mean, anything can happen. We'll see. But
Just
I feel,
depend.
can they make the can they make a wild card? I think it's doable. The question is, though, are they going to go anywhere? And I think they need better quarterback play to make a run. The question is can Aaron Rodgers come back faster than anyone's ever come back from an Achilles tear at age 40?
Why?
And would the Jets be smart or dumb to put him in a position where, sure, he might be, whatever he does, and Aaron Rodgers is a unique guy. To have this medical—I mean, this would be like a modern medical miracle. Do you want to put him in a position to be out there rusty? He gets hit the wrong way and re-tears the Achilles. I mean, like I don't know. Part of me says, you know what? Let him do what he needs to do to motivate himself to push. But would he be better off? Would the team be better off just letting him come back next year?
Well, because it appears to me that his purpose, not just helping them get more wins, was to also elevate the play of Zach Wilson by letting him
Right.
have a true veteran to learn under. Now let me ask you this question. Let's just say Zach Wilson just plays out of his fucking mind, right? And
Which
he
he's never
manages to
done.
be, which he's never done, but let's just say this last stretch, he gets you to the wild card game, right? Where he gets you to the division, right? Would it be the right thing to say, hey, you know what? I know you got us here, kid, but we're going to replace you with a guy who's 40 coming back from an Achilles. At that point, would you just say, hey, let's let the young kid get some snaps in a playoff position, playoff environment, get that experience under his belt, and then we'll get A-Raj next year humming along with this core group of guys we put together.
I think that you, so the Jets have the longest active playoffless drought in the NFL right now. It's been over 12 years.
Damn.
I think if I'm the general manager, I think here's what you need to do when if let's say you get to that point. The question is which one gives you the best chance to win? But then a very close second is what's in the best interest of the long-term health of the franchise. So if Zach is playing, I'm not even going to say out of his mind because he's never done that, but let's say he starts playing well, right? And the team is winning in part because of him. Right now, they're winning in spite of him. He's not
Got
turning
it.
the ball over, which he was very prone to do, but they're also not letting him really take a lot of chances.
Got it.
So if he's playing at a competent level and the risk of re-injury to Aaron Rodgers is low, which I find just hard to believe just based on the injury. But let's just say that's the world we're in. Zach is playing okay. And if you were to put Aaron in there, his risk of re-injury would be very, very low. Then I think you look at them and you say, who gives you the best chance to win? In any other scenario, if Zach is playing out of his mind, you let Zach play. You always go with the hot hand. If the team is still winning in spite of Zach, and Aaron is there and he's able to play with a low risk of re-injury, then you play Zach. But, or I'm sorry, then you play Aaron. But if there's a moderate to high chance that Aaron could re-injure himself or he's just really, really rusty, even though the team is winning in spite of Zach, go with Zach. And I hate saying that because I can't stand. He scares the hell out of me watching him play quarterback.
So
And I would.
what's his issue? Because I'm not I once Aaron Rodgers got hurt, I was kind of out.
I think what's happened with him is what's happened to many of the Jets quarterbacks over the years. They do such a horrifying job of developing them. They're always changing offensive coordinators, always changing the system. Last year they had the Mike White debacle. And it just undermines the kid's ability to, be the leader of the franchise. So now he's in a position where You know, they're not asking him to go win them football games until they're down in a 2-minute drill. Then he's making throws all over the place. And it's like, well, why don't you let him do that as part of the normal game plan? So it's such a weird situation with him in particular, because he shows you flashes.
Yeah.
But so what? You know, I mean, you know, at some point the promise of talent has to be realized into results. Mm-hmm. And he's on year three now. Next year will be the fourth year of his rookie contract, which means it's almost time for the Jets to make a decision. Are they going to keep him or not? Yeah. I don't think you can. The problem is now, though, is they're playing so well that they're not going to be in a position to draft high enough to get a quarterback that would warrant taking him that early in the draft. So what 100%. Do you do now? Well, you go with Aaron next year.
Yeah.
Because if they rush him back and he hurts himself in a playoff game and re-blows out his Achilles, I think he's done.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
For good. Why would you risk that?
Dude, he was gonna. I think he's done after either next season or the season after, right?
That would be my guess. I think he was motivated to play for the Jets this year. I think he felt that the Packers disrespected him, and then the fact that he got hurt so early in his campaign, and then I think the people saying, "Well, you know, he may just retire now," I think motivated him extra. Yeah. But I think best case scenario, you get next year with him. And unless they, you know, make a run to the AFC title game and they lose like a little bit of a heartbreaker, my guess would be does he seem like a Tom Brady that's going to hang on, you know, 43, 44, 45 years old? I don't think so. I think you get a year at best two with him.
Yeah.
Namath, I agree. Vinny Testaverde. I think Chad Pennington is a highly underrated Jets quarterback.
All right, so here's the question, because it is going to be on a podcast. Barbell Rehab, what's up, brother? Says, honestly, the Jets' best quarterbacks all time are kind of lacking. Namath is the clear number one. I agree. Then you got to go Vinny Testaverde, also agree. And then Chad Pennington, who I also agree, Steve, was a very underrated quarterback for his
people,
time.
People forget Chad Pennington as the Jets' quarterback. That team steamrolled Peyton Manning and this was young Peyton Manning and the Colts in a playoff game, 41-0.
Damn.
Chad, until he took a couple of hits that really messed up his shoulder, and then he just couldn't throw the ball downfield. But Chad was an amazingly accurate quarterback. I still have my Chad Pennington number 10 jersey. I'm a big fan of Chad. I think you got to go with Vinny too, just because I think, you know, he took him to an AFC championship game. You know, Mark Sanchez took him to two back-to-back, but, you know, that's a whole other deal. Yeah, damn, Chad, I think Chad Pennington had the ability to really be a very good quarterback, but, man, he just took some shots to that shoulder, and then he just could not throw the ball downfield anymore. And if you're a quarterback and you can't shove the ball downfield, it makes it a lot easier for defenses to plan for you.
Oh, absolutely. If you know, you like Brady at least had the threat of the deep ball, right?
Right.
But even though he liked to play in the flats, he would use that to set up the long stuff. A lot of people say that's why Dak Prescott can't get anything going, because he just doesn't have the bomb.
I will tell you, to go back to the comment that was made about, well, would number four be Ken O'Brien? You know, people forget. You know who the Jets franchise leader is for touchdowns in a single season?
Who?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. What was his? How many did he get?
It wasn't I forget the number, but it was just a couple of years ago. But the point was, is, you know, Fitzpatrick's a journeyman who's been on like almost every team in the league. Like he's not, you know, it's not like he's some kind of all-time quarterback. But that just goes to show you the quality of the quarterbacks that the Jets have had over the years. It's just it's awful.
Well, I mean, they just get bad luck in that department. So let me ask you the million-dollar question. Like, Baker has bounced from team to team, but that's been just because of the circumstances, the situation. I think his current team's going to hold on to him for a while, because he's actually been playing pretty well for the Bucs. Do you think anybody would take Zach Wilson as a starting quarterback after this, or is it going to be one of those things he's going to be – he's going to be on the headset for the rest of his career if he chooses to stick around.
My guess would be that, you know, barring some kind of switch flipping, I think that Fitzy is 10th all time for passing TDs. Now, I think in a single season, though, he has the all-time record for in a single season. But anyway, I think that Zach most likely, once he's done with this contract, he goes and he's a backup somewhere. Because the thing is NFL teams are always looking for talent at the quarterback position in particular. And he can throw the ball. So he'll get a chance as a backup somewhere, but I think the rest of his career kind of mirrors Mark Sanchez a little bit. You know, he went and he was a backup, I think, in Dallas for a little while. I think it's just, he's gonna go be a backup and then he's gonna be out of the league. There's something not clicking. Maybe he gets with the right coach and the right coordinator and the right system and it turns on for him. But is he gonna go be, you know, Patrick Mahomes? No.
No, and that's what I meant by being on the headset, because as you know, the backup quarterback's wearing a hat and a headset on the sideline helping call plays. So that's what I meant. So yeah, I agree with you. He'll probably be a backup somewhere, so long as he needs a paycheck. Is he a talker? Like, could he go to a Fox Sports One or a Fox? Does he have that kind of charisma?
He sounds like a kid who's like. He doesn't instill confidence in me when I hear him speak.
All right, well that's enough there. Before we go, I got to ask you, because I did not watch Crown Jewel. I heard some of the matches were good, some of the matches kind of sucked. How good? We'll start with the main event. How good was Roman Reigns versus LA Knight?
I thought it was as good as it could be. I mean, there was no mystery in the outcome. I just don't think that, you know, just because LA Knight's gotten hot over the last year that you're going to sacrifice Roman's 3 years of equity to him in Saudi Arabia. Because there's no mystery in the outcome, to me, that kind of takes it down a little bit. But I thought they did a good job of protecting Knight. You know, they gave him the visual pinfall, you know, with the referee not counting. And then the outside interference to help. So, you know, that helps protect Knight. I think from here, LA Knight needs to move away. See, here's the problem now. You got to move him away from the bloodline, I think.
Yeah.
But by doing that, you know, and he doesn't get a chance to kind of right the wrong against him, does that diminish him now in the face of the crowd? It's going to be a weird dance that they have to dance with him. And maybe they get around that with the Survivor Series, the War Games match.
Yeah.
Maybe you throw him in there and then you spin him off in a feud that makes sense coming out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta find a way to get him out of this situation that they put him in a way that protects him.
It's kind of like what they did with Cody and Brock Lesnar. Like, they basically just said, oh, damn, well, now Cody's got to deal with Brock out of nowhere, right? So, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I knew LA Knight wasn't going to win, but part of me is just like, look, LA Knight is hot right now. Why chop his balls off and have him lose to Roman Reigns when you could just have him Rollins is a babyface right now, right?
Yeah.
So I think if Rollins was heel, that would make sense. You got Logan Paul, who's now the U.S. champion.
I
love it.
I love this idea.
I love it too. But I think LA Knight versus Logan Paul. That's the next one, because they're both
rumor.
They're both white hot. They're both great on the mic. Best or the hottest heel right now, which is Logan. There's no disputing that. The guy's got the numbers to prove that with your hottest baby face. And then, you know, that pays back LA Knight for having to take the pin against Roman. And then you basically just get LA Knight like another half a million fans right there. So right will be wronged.
My thing is I think the champions spend too much time on TV, and I think that everyone gets overexposed. So I'm not one of these people that pisses and moans about Roman never being on TV. I think Roman coming to TV to defend the title should be a big happening. And if he's there every week, it's not.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And candidly, I'm in favor of that being the same way with the US title. Like, let now that's a tough one because they're both on the same show. Right. And it sounds like from what Logan Paul said in an interview that he's going to be around a little bit more now that he's got the U.S. title and he doesn't have any boxing matches coming up. By the way, again, you know, Logan's a great promoter, man. You know, he finishes up his boxing match and immediately starts calling out, you know, Rey Mysterio.
Yes.
And going back to I love that because here's a guy that, you know, let him do mainstream stuff with that gaudy looking title. I don't like the design of the U.S. title.
Bro.
But let him do his thing.
Dude.
Right? Let him run around with the belt on. He will bring you eyeballs. And that's what
I'm
looking for.
I agree. And they just spent a whole lot of money buying the WWE. So I'm sure they would love those extra eyeballs. Speaking of which, you told me on Instagram that there was a moment in the match where it looked like Logan saved Rey from getting a broken neck. Like what went down?
It looked like it to me. So Rey did the springboard moonsault off the middle rope. So he runs in, you know, he jumps off the middle rope and then kind of comes back for a moonsault.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like had Logan not caught him, that Rey was going to come down right like dead on his head.
Oh, that's
and
no good.
Fortunately, you know, Logan's a strong guy.
Yeah.
And Rey don't weigh that much.
Rey does not weigh that much.
Rey weighs supposedly 175 according to their weigh-in.
No, that dude is 145 tops.
According to their weigh-in, I'm just saying.
I know wrestling weights, bro,
right.
Okay?
Add 10%.
Add 10%, yeah. I went with my real weight when I wrestled, but they wanted to bill me at like 215. And I was like, what?
There you go.
Where? But
in my pants.
In my pants, brother. Which yeah. testicle are you talking about, brother?
The right one, yeah.
Yeah, brother. Well, my right one is 215 and the left one is 174.
That's right. I call the left one Junior. Yeah.
I should get that looked at. All right, Steve. Well,
there
we
might
got
be some
about...
elephantitis going on there.
Yeah, if you had 200 plus pound balls, I mean, maybe it's time to get that drained.
That's
and
a
then
South Park
also,
episode right there.
That is totally a South Park
Randy,
episode.
Your balls. Microwave.
Randy, your balls. And he's like, my eyes are up here.
That's right.
Oh, you know what I learned? Trey Parker's real name is actually Randall, and his father's name is Randy. So the reason why Randy gets so much airtime and it's so fucking hilarious is he basically based that character on his dad.
Did you happen to watch the Panderverse special?
No, I need to get Paramount Plus just to
watch
that.
Dude, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, man. All right, brother. Well, we are almost out of time. So first off, Steve, thanks for doing this with me again, buddy. I always have fun doing it.
It's what we do. Next time we do this, I'll be joining you from the palatial Las Vegas estate. Yeah.
Well, you know what, bro? Maybe. Maybe I'll meet you there.
Well,
who
there
knows?
You go.
But we'll talk about that offline.
A little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly. So where can the wonderful people watching this and soon to be listening to this, where can they find you, follow you on the medias of the social?
Instagram and on X, formerly Twitter, at Steve_Slammer. What about you, brother? Yeah.
Well, brother, you can follow me on TikTok, X, and Instagram at OJackSlammer. That's OHJackSlammer. And then they could follow us on Instagram at The Slammer Bros. You can also watch us on Twitch at The Slammer Bros. And listen to this podcast wherever you like to listen to podcasts. But my one request is, if you like the show,
yes,
give us one of those 5-star reviews. It'll help more people, help us get some more people. And if you don't like the podcast, maybe keep your opinion to yourself, right?
Oh.
So if you got us at a 2, boost us to a 5, you know, over-exaggerate your love of us. But until next time, folks, bye!